Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Why don't we just come before the Lord with prayer? Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We thank you that in the name of Jesus, we can come boldly before you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit in our midst, in our hearts, and joining our hearts together before the Father, leading us to offer up a sacrifice of praises and worship that is pleasing to you. Father, even when it comes to worship, we cannot worship by our own will, but it's really by your grace. In the name of Jesus and with the help of the Holy Spirit and through the knowledge and truth of the scriptures. So, Father, we cherish this privilege to know you and to worship you. Oh, Father, we worship you every day in our life, the rest of our life, and eternity, because you are worthy to be praised and you are forever to be worshiped. So, Father, we thank you. We welcome you. We welcome you to speak and to minister to our hearts and give us hope and give us your purpose and continue show yourself clear and strong among us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God. Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. Amen. Can you tell your neighbor, God is with us? He is with us because his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Okay, so today I'm going to share with you a message with the title, Life with a Mission. So when I think of this title, it also reminds me of a ministry called Youth with a Mission. How many of you heard of Youth with Mission? Okay, well, some of you, maybe 20%. But anyway, it is a very exciting mission organization and training young people and sending young people out to the mission field and changing the world. And I see that a lot of young people probably take a gap year before they go to college or whenever, and then go through the training. And then their perspectives will be widened and their lives can be changed. And they know the purpose of their life. So I think this is a very wonderful ministry. But today I just want to share with you with this message, because when I look at my life in the past 25 years, or maybe I should say ever since 1986, when I became a Christian and committed my life to Jesus, I have become a missionary. It could be on the campus, it could be at my homeland, it could be in a far, far place that people probably would not normally go, but God has called me to be a missionary. So I just want to share with you why I left Taipei and go to America and what had happened in the past year. Okay, so last year in March, February, so it's about 15 months ago, with the blessing of Every Nation Taipei, my wife, Pastor Hope, and myself went along without our children for the first time to our next mission field, which is North Carolina, America. And then with your blessing, we landed in North Carolina. So we embarked on a new journey of mission. And then when I look at this picture, it just reminded me of another picture, which was taken in 94. That was 28 years ago. Wow, I look so young, right? I was young, anyway. So my wife and I, for the first time in 94, we visited the land of China. We know that actually before then, there was no transportation visits between the two sides of the Taiwan Strait. So 94 was the first time I was able to visit China. And then I didn't know that even in my first site of the city, which at that time was pretty backward, I already loved the land. I already felt a strong calling from the Lord calling me to move to China, which actually was fulfilled in 4 years later. Okay, so 28 years later, I'm still in the mission field, going strong, hopefully. Yeah, so it's really God's grace. I was able to answer God's calling and take on a journey of mission. And then, so this is a picture when I was taking the flight to America. So I was sitting in the airplane, and then I figured, it was like a 13-hour flight straight to cross the Pacific. So normally, we just watch the, movies one after another, right? Or just fall asleep. But at that time, I just felt like, God, I want to be really serious about this mission to America, the new phase of my life. So I just, prayed to the Lord. And also I thought to myself, I'm in the air closer to the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so it would be a good time to set apart and just seek the Lord about what he wants me to do in the new journey. So I prayed, and then over hours of, meditating, seeking the Lord, thinking, talking with the Lord, and I came up with four tasks that I felt like God was calling me to do when I went to America. So I just want to share with you what are the four tasks, okay? So the first one is Online Great Commission. Online Great Commission. So in the airplane, somehow God led me to start to strategize and think about how I can reach people in different parts of the world through maybe Zoom or other social media. So I started praying for this, and I felt like the reason God allowed the pandemic to take place in the past 2-3 years, one of them is to push the church online. Yeah, because while we feel limited in our personal outreach, to the physical world, but through the cyber world, we can basically access people in any part of the world. Okay, so it's almost like you think about when Jesus ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit was transitioned to come to the world, and the influence of the kingdom of God is no longer limited by the physical presence of Jesus, but the Holy Spirit can be at anywhere, minister to anyone at any time. So today, it's almost like that. We may be limited physically, but through the online access, we can reach anybody in the world. So this is something I just felt like God was really calling us to do, and to really focus on that. So very soon after I reached America, started to minister in our church, I realized that actually in one of our small groups, half of the people are actually from China. They are in China, northeast of China, and they have been attending the small group meetings with our people on a regular basis. And then when I went there, I started have our people do the one-to-one discipleship with them. So they started going through the discipleship, and we were able to lay the solid foundation in their lives. And of course, you know, when you're done with the one-to-one, what's next? You know, you are supposed to be baptized, you know, because they know what the gospel is and they are very clear in committing their life to Jesus. So, you know, it comes to the time when they are supposed to be baptized. But they're so far away, how are we going to baptize them? So when the small group leader asked me about this question, immediately God gave me an idea. We can easily do Zoom baptism. Although we never heard of it, we never thought of the idea, but somehow God just revealed to me, hey, why not Zoom baptism? And of course, many of you would think, oh, but you know, how are you going to do it? You're not there. So, you know, all you need to have is to get a Baptist surrogate, okay? Anybody, any Christian, or even non-Christian, you know, and then you have the Christian who is getting be baptized in the, you know, bathtub, or probably not even bathtub, because we can do sprinkling. So, and then you have another body, another person, preferably a Christian, but if not, that's okay. So basically, just follow my instruction through Zoom, okay? Now I baptize you in the name of Jesus, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I ask questions beforehand, of course. And then the person will go into the water and then get baptized and get up. And then we shout hallelujah and sing a victory song. Yeah, and then so we did the Zoom baptism. And I just want to show you the picture of how we did. Okay, so these are the four ladies who got baptized. And then I don't know who prepared these gorgeous flowers for them. And they were so excited. We even emailed them these baptism certificate they can print out. And so they got everything, you know, just like, you know, in person. And now they are growing strong. They actually are doing daily devotion on Zoom with us every day. They pray with us. They read the Bible together with us. So they have been discipled. And they listen to my daily Bible study through video. Oh, not video, for audio. Yeah, so they were able to just receive ministry from us on a daily basis. So they have been growing pretty strong. They even organize picnic because at this time it's hard to meet indoors. So they had picnic and they invited people. 17 of them came together for a picnic. They reach out to gospel friends. So they have been witness for the Lord and discipling other people. So every Sunday. They have online service together with us. Actually, they are they see the recorded video from the previous week, but basically they have online church with us. Okay, so this is how we do the online service. And then this is another lady in New York whom we baptized in our hotel room. Bathtub. So what happened was we were able to minister to her daughter and son-in-law, and they came to North Carolina from New York City, and we baptized both of them. Their lives were radically changed, and they started to reach out to their mom, not knowing that she has been exposed to the gospel since 30 years ago, but she never had a chance to be discipled and even asked to be baptized. So as soon as her daughter and son-in-law reached out to her, very quickly she decided to follow Jesus and gave her life to Jesus. So when we had the chance to visit our New York church where Pastor Bruce and Terry from. We just took the opportunity to baptize her in the hotel bathtub. We are excited to be able to minister to people from afar. And then another thing is that God can do miracles through Zoom. How many of you believe that? let me give you one. If you are suspicious about this, I'll give you one testimony. One of the relatives of this lady who got baptized, who's also living in North Carolina, but in different city, which is 3 hours away, in Charlotte. That's probably, are you going to Charlotte? Oh, no, you were thinking about going to Charlotte, but not anymore. But anyway, so in Charlotte, and then she started going to, she started to attend our online Sunday service. And in one of the recorded Sunday service, toward the end, Pastor Hope was doing the ministry time. And she said, anybody who has any kind of sicknesses or pain, lay hand on that area and receive healing now, okay? And then when this lady who heard this online, she was a little bit suspicious, but somehow the Holy Spirit just led her to lay her hand on her lower back anyway. So she did, because she had the chronic pain in the lower back for for years. And then all of a sudden, she was healed. The pain was gone and just permanently gone. Yeah, so she was like, how could this be? She was very surprised. And then she was excited and said, I want to be baptized. God is real. So next thing you know, a couple of months later, she came to our area, our church, and then she was baptized. And then she went back to where she was. And then she was attending our daily online devotion every day, every morning for an hour. Okay, so she grew because she was being the disciple online. And then one time, her American colleague had to do a surgery in the heart, a major surgery, because there is a hole in her heart. So our sister in Charlotte said, oh, you need to pray to God. God can heal you. And she said, oh, well, I haven't gone to church for a long time. I don't know how to pray. And this lady said, oh, well, you can still pray. Prayer is not that hard. And then this American lady said to her, why don't you pray for me? And she said, well, I'm a new Christian. I don't know how to pray for you. But, you know, she gave in and started to pray for her colleague. And then after a while, her colleague went to the doctor. The doctor said, you don't have to have surgery because the hole is gone. The hole in the heart is gone. Wow. We were so excited, so encouraged to hear this testimony. Because, you know, not only we're excited about the healing, but also I'm so excited about the discipleship, the multiplication. So this person has been discipled online. And then she was able to bring whatever God has deposited in her to the person around her. Yeah, so what happened online can be substantiated in the physical, personal world, your personal world. So there's no limit to online Great Commission. I have been very encouraged, and I know what I heard from the Lord in the plane is actually happening. It's not just me trying to strategize something, trying to invent something, but that's the Lord. God is doing it. It's not just with our mission, but I believe it is for the church today. You know, how the enemy has really occupied and dominate in the cyber world today. And the Christians, the churches need to arise and shine in the cyber world. So there is no limit to the Great Commission online. And then, we had in April, just a little over a month after we arrived, we had this baptism. And then we were excited. And then at that time, I started to have the, you know, faith, believing that, you know, we're going to do baptism service every month. I want to believe for it. I would declare it by faith. And then we praised the Lord. Beginning from June, we started to have baptism every month. So in the past 14 months, we had 41 people baptized, wow, including the 10 people who were baptized in China. Yeah, so faith really can bring God's will and God's kingdom down on our world. Amen. Next one. Okay, the second one is I believe that God is calling me to establish what I call the Trinity Centers. And I think, if you are an old member of this church, you are familiar with this idea. And if you're not, and I'll explain just very briefly what Trinity Center is. So basically, there are three parts of the Trinity Center. The first one, of course, is a worship center. This is what every church is established to do. And that's the first and foremost, to worship God. And the second thing is God also calls the church to serve the society. So with every nation vision or mission, one of them is not just to reach out to the campus and the nations, but also we are socially responsible church. We are to be the hands of Jesus to reach out to the needy. So we need to be a community center, which is a place where we can do the community service. And our Taipei church has the prototype of the Trinity Center already, because we have the worship center mostly in the second floor, and then the first floor we have community service. So, we used to have elderly people coming from Monday to Friday and from morning to afternoon. So every day we were able to maximize the usage of this sanctuary. Thirdly is a student center, because with every nation, one of our main vision is to reach out to the campuses. So we want it to be a student, a place where the student wants to hang out. That's why in the first floor, there is a one wall of mirrors, so that people like Lynn, where's Lynn? Hi, Lynn. People like Lynn, very energetic and youthful, wants to reach out to the young people. They can dance there. So the college students can come over. And even, elderly people, they can also dance there. And also we had, on the first floor, we had a mini basketball court. That's also because of the vision for reaching out to the young people, the younger generation. So basically, our Taipei church already has the prototype. So God just also placed in my heart, I was going to establish the Trinity Centers in America. Maybe just a little over a month when I was there, I just felt like God just put in my heart to purchase the church building there. This is crazy and wild, because I was just there. I didn't know much about this place. I don't know the people very well. And then, if you've been through a church building project, you know how wild it could be, how formidable it could be. But anyway, so there's no limit to what God can do. So I just, you know, had that idea in my heart to purchase a church building. And then a couple of months later, we had a prophet came over to our church. Out of nowhere, he started to prophesy to the whole church and also to me. He said, whatever vision God put in your pastor's heart, and God is going to provide that and to make it happen in 18 months. Okay, so the timing was even prophesied. It was Pastor Reggie who prophesied that. Okay, so at that time, nobody knows what I had in mind. But, you know, I knew exactly, you know, that what he was talking about. That was about purchasing a building for the Trinity Center. So I knew immediately, you know, just God was prophesying about that. And then a couple of months later, Pastor Jim LaFon, another prophet, who's a major prophet of every nation worldwide, and he came over and he started prophesying to our church. He said, yes, you are going to have your own site. Because at that time, the Chinese congregation were meeting at a different city than the English congregation. And then we had to rent a place, meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we can use the place for only 3 hours every week. So our use of the sanctuary is very limited. With the vision God has given us, we cannot really just do it without actually a building. So the Pastor Jim LaFon said, there's going to be a site. You're going to have your own site. You're going to have 3 or even 4 sites. And actually, what I had in my heart was 5 sites. So I said, 5. Anyway, so but we're going to start with the first one, of course. And then so we started the building project. And thankfully, we are able to start to raise the building fund. And we are believing for this Thanksgiving, we're going to have enough money to purchase a church building, because that would be 18 months after the prophecy. So hallelujah. Yeah. Anyway, and then the next thing is this is the sanctuary, main sanctuary we are renting every Sunday, and we are believing to actually buying this building. So believe with us for this building. Okay, next one. Okay, so this is having a picnic for our church, and also it's an outreach for people, for friends. And then the third one, next one. Okay, third one is church schools. Church school. So, you know, it may be a wild idea, but I think this is something I believe that God is up to for the church during this time of pandemic, at this age. To us, Shijia and I, it's not that I'm familiar, because 20 years ago when we were doing church plant in Guangzhou, in year 2000, it was maybe 2002 before we left. There was this, God just led us to start a Christian academy. And of course, it's underground in China. So we started the Christian academy right before we left Guangzhou. And so it has been 20 years. And so now, the students who graduated from the schools are studying in America and graduating pretty soon. After the first academy we started in Guangzhou, then one after another started to happen in Guangzhou and even other parts of China. So we didn't know that was actually the first fruit. And then it started to multiply, started to happen. And I think 20 years later, even for churches today worldwide, we need to think about taking the education back as parents and church. You know, many of you may think it's, how could it be? But I think, you know, I always quote this this saying from Africa, it takes a village to raise a child. So why don't the family, the parents, and the church come together? And then as long as they have a system, a material, and also somebody who has the know-how, they should be able to use the sanctuary or maybe another place to do education so that our next generation can grow up with a biblical worldview and values and not to be polluted by humanism, secularism, and all that kind of things. I think it's now the younger generation is facing the greatest challenge in history. So I really feel for the younger generation. I want to see this happen. So this is something that we are thinking about doing. And actually the most important one, the bottom line for everything we do, which is to raise up true worshipers. Yeah, so, you know, when you see the gospel, what is the purpose of the gospel? Some people may say to get people saved, to get people baptized, to get people added to the church. But you know, this is just the beginning of the purpose of the gospel. The ultimate purpose of the gospel is to help people to establish personal, loving relationship with the Father, with their Creator. When they build relationship, so they can love God, they can worship God as who He is. So everything we do in the church is to help people worship God in spirit and in truth. So when we look at worship, we need to know what is worship. Worship is obedience. Okay, so obedience is not just 30 minutes every week raising up your hands singing songs. Obedience doesn't happen just at that time. Obedience happens every day of your life. So if you purpose in your heart to obey the Lord, walk in obedience to our Maker, you are worshiping God every day in your life. That's the worshiper's lifestyle. Worship is obedience. Worship is love. Loving God. How can you sing praises to God without loving God? So you can be loving God but not singing, but you are still really worshiping God. So worshiping God is loving God. And if you do things, live your life out of love for God, if you love people out of love of God, you are worshiping God. And that's what you do in your life, in your daily walk. Okay, worship is honoring God, is worshiping, is glorifying God. So you do your life, you walk your walk, glorifying God, purposing your heart to glorify Him. That's worship. So we want to help people, not just discipled, but discipled to worship God. So everything we do is to help people worship God. Everything we do is to make our church a worshiping church. Everything we do is to make sure we do it out of obedience and love and glorifying God. So we want to be true worshipers. Why do we do online Great Commission? That's for worshiping God. Why do we do Trinity Centers? That's help our church and our society, our community to worship God. Why do we do church schools? Because we want to make sure our next generation know our God and worship our God. So, this is the bottom line of everything we do to be true worshipers and to raise up true worshipers and make our church true worship church. So can we move on? And then as we talk about life with a mission, I want to share with you a passage from John. This is from John 9, verse 1, and I skipped some verses to 6. So this is about a miracle that Jesus did to heal the blind. And then this guy was blind from birth. And then, of course, Jesus reached out to heal him. But this time, Jesus healed him a different way, very weird way, and even a little bit gross. So basically, he spit on the ground and mixed it with the earth, with the soil, and applied it on his eyes. But he wasn't healed when Jesus did that. Jesus continued to tell him to go to a place. Let's continue to look at this. Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay, so you know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes we expect miracles to happen right after the prayer, right after the ministry. But this time, Jesus did the prayer and also did the sending. And without the obedience, without you know, stepping out in faith, the healing would not be completed. Okay, so it's the same can apply to our life. If you want to see miracles, healing take place in your life, don't just receive prayer. Don't just come to church and expect you know, healing and breakthrough miracles happen right then. But you need to obey and send by the Lord and go to, and do what He asks you to do, and then miracles will happen. A lot of times we have a part to see the miracles take place. That is obedience. That is stepping out in faith. And then this is interesting because you know he needs to go to this pool, and the name of the pool, the Bible specify the meaning of it. It means sent. Okay. So when he was sent and he obeyed, go to the place where he was sent, then his eyes were open. He was able to see clearly. And today I want to share with you, your life is not an accident. Your life has a purpose. Your life has a mission, every one of us. Because even before the foundation of the earth, when God form you in His mind, He already purposed a goal, a destiny, a calling in your life. And at least that's what I believed, that even before I devoted my life to Jesus, I was seeking the purpose of my life. I was seeking the goal of my life. And then, as soon as I committed my life to Jesus, God gave me a vision very clearly. And ever since then, 36 years ago, I started I have been walking in that direction, that vision. And that's why we had the church here, okay? And then, once we know our mission, once we are sent, then we can see life clearly. We can see the world clearly. We can see God's purpose clearly. So today I just want to challenge you. It doesn't mean you have to be a missionary to have a mission. And you know, in another sense, everybody is a missionary because we have a mission in life. So we need to be serious about asking God, what is that mission? What do you have me do in my life? Or you can at least just pray to God, I'm in Taiwan now at this stage of my life. What do you want me to do? Okay, and then we pray just sincerely, and God will just lead us and guide us. And then at the end of the day, when we look back, we give God all the glory because we know that we have fulfilled His purpose. Yeah, so I just want to challenge you and encourage you. And when you are able to fulfill what God has called you to do, and what He has purposed for your life to be, that's probably the greatest joy. And you can rejoice your life together with our Lord. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. Our life is so precious and so dear to You. And Father, we thank You. Our life is not an accident, but You have such a great design and even great plan and purpose for our life, for each one of us. And right now, we just lay our life before You and lift it up to You. And we pray that You have Your way in our lives. And we need You to show us what You want us to do. Help us to answer Your call. And even right now, for people who already prayed this prayer before, and God can refresh that calling in your life and even the renew your passion for the calling in your life. So Father, we thank You. We just receive it by faith, and we want to run toward it by faith, and we want to live our life by faith. Right now, we just pray for the impartation of faith to everyone in this place, and even people online who listen to this message, receiving ministry. Right now, we pray for the gift of faith and impartation of faith to come to You so that we can walk by faith and not by sight, not by fear. No more fear, no more just depend on the environment, but we depend on Your promises, depend on Your word. We trust in You and trust in Your goodness. Father, we thank You. We can trust You because You are good. You are good. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.